Distracted, worried, and bothered. Seems like that's our life, isn't it? It seems like that's my life. I'm either distracted by something or worried about something or I'm bothered by it all, you know. And but it seems like that's for life for most of us. In the book of Luke in chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, if you have your Bibles, and Verna's got it up here on the screen too. Sometimes those Bibles are just too heavy to carry. So, but if you have your cell phones, you know there's those apps you can get too, and I like those too. So there's always a place to see the Scripture. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, just speak through me this morning that the words that come from my mouth are your words. So, Lord, be here with us. Open up our ears that we may hear, Lord, and melt our hearts. Lord, warm our hearts with your holy presence. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Verse 38, and now they were traveling along, and Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. I love that translation. That's the NASB translation. I know what's on the screen here is the NIV translation. I like looking at those different ways that they translate in word those. You know, it kind of brings it into our perspective and how we speak today. But many sermons have been preached about this scripture. I've heard lots of them in the past. And one of the questions has always been asked, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Who are you? Where do you fit into that? And the story of Mary and Martha always seems to always spell trouble in many ways. And whenever I've mentioned this passage to people, they'll say, I think Martha was right. And they mean that you can't ignore the things. You got to eat. You got to fix supper. Somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to do the work, right? And then when somebody's not helping out, it does kind of bother you a little bit, right? When you're doing all the work and you look around and you're the only one doing the work and everybody else is relaxing. And I don't think Jesus was very fair to Martha. Some people ask that. I don't think he was really fair. He kind of just got, I mean, she was mad, you know? And I agree that there are many of us who have been left with all the dirty work at times. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we have, you know, sometimes we're the one out there slaving over the grill or we're frying all the fish and everybody else is sitting in on the couch and the air conditioner and, you know, and we're out there doing all the work and it seems frustrating. We're like, well, would somebody please at least help me, you know, get me a plate, do something, you know? Sometimes we get stuck with all the work and sometimes we cry out to Jesus, come on, you know, I mean, I've done that, I've been out, come on. Really? Can I get a little help here, you know, just a little bit? Give me some help. Look at the things that I've done. Why don't you send someone to help me out? I mean, I think we've all been there. Life doesn't seem fair at times. You know, sometimes we get stuck with all the dirty work, and I think a lot of us have trouble with this story in different ways because we have mixed emotions with it. Sometimes we feel like Mary, and sometimes we feel like Martha. But the dirty work still has to be done, right? Somebody has to do it. This doesn't seem fair that there's somebody that doesn't do it at all and they get to sit and listen. You know, but Martha, you know, there in verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And I think about that word distracted. Can this be the case where Martha is so busy serving Jesus that she is not paying attention to Jesus? Her attention has been distracted off the one thing that is most important. Could we at times become so busy serving God that we are distracted and we just don't listen to God? You know, and like I said, of course the food's important. Those things are important. We have to add. People have to eat to survive, and the basic necessities of life must be taken care of. We have to take care of ourselves. But what if it becomes the majority of our focus? What if the food or whatever else is the primary objective and we leave Christ out of it? Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He also taught this in Matthew 4:4. He said, people cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds from His mouth. Someone has said it's better to go hungry than to go wrong. I heard that. I think our generation, this needs to hear this teaching. Often we place our value on ourselves and based on how busy we are. And let me tell you, we can get really busy, really quick. And it can distract us from where we really need to be. And we rush here and we rush there. And when we meet others, we talk about how much we have to do. Man, let me tell you, I've done that this week alone. I've got a lot on my plate, especially this time of year. And I have talked to so many people about how busy I am. And it's really distracted me from my studies. It's really distracted me from doing the work that I need to do for the Lord because I've gotten so busy with other things. And those other things are not always things that don't pertain to the church because a lot of that pertains to the church. But that's the way life is sometimes. We have this frantic life rather than a focused life. And we're like Martha when Jesus said, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. How many times have you been worried and bothered about so many things that it just consumes your day? Maybe the best thing we could do is to stop rushing and start resting in Jesus. Stop moving and start meditating. Maybe we need to stop worrying about so many things and refocus on those things that are so really important. You see, it's really easy to get out of focus. It really is. One thing can happen in life and you're out of focus. Absolutely. One little thing can happen in your day and it just messes the whole day up. And the thing that you started out to do, you've completely laid it aside. There's been many times when I've said I'm going to dedicate myself this. I'm going to set aside an hour tonight to prayer. I'm going to pray tonight. I'm going to do that. And the next thing you know, you get a phone call, something that you know that you need to take, or something else happens. And next thing you know, you don't have that hour any longer. Maybe you've only got 15 minutes. Maybe you don't even have it at all. Next thing you know, you find yourself in bed asleep. Next day comes on, you're like, I'm sorry, Lord. I meant to pray yesterday. I had every intention to do so. But I got distracted. I got bothered by something. And then I was worried about it. And the next thing you know, I didn't get to spend time with you like I wanted to. We have many examples of those things, don't we? There are several things that happens when we get our lives out of focus, and these things really happened to Martha. First, The loss of focus causes us to question God's care. You know, look at that verse 40 again. Notice the first thing Martha says, Jesus, Lord, do you not care? I mean, she's questioning the Lord if He cares or not. I mean, that's pretty bold if you ask me. That's an accusation in her voice. And Lord, are you not paying attention to what is going on here? Lord, don't you see that I'm doing what I'm doing? I'm doing all the work. Aren't you going to do something about it? Aren't you going to make her get up and help me? I mean, you know, sisters are like that probably. Brothers and sisters are like that too. One's doing one thing, you know, it's kind of bothersome if the other one's not doing it, right? They're doing all the work. She's probably a little bit like that. Martha was angry. She was really kind of directing her anger towards Jesus, and He continued to let the situation go on and on. And notice that Martha addressed her irritation at Jesus. And like I said before, I have to admit, that's a little gutsy. You know, but Martha is accusing Jesus of not caring for her because she was sure that if Jesus really cared for her, He would have done something about it and He would have made her help. You know, I wonder if you've ever wondered if God cares for you. You ever wondered that? Have you ever accused Him of not caring for you? Have you ever questioned where God is when you're going through some tough times in your life? I know I have. I'm telling you, I have. You know, I believe that God could fix any situation that happens. But sometimes I wonder where He's at. You know, because I'm like, here I am, God. You know what I'm going through? This ain't easy. I've said it many times before. I said, things that's happened to me in life, there's been things that happened. It's like I felt like I got pitched out in the middle of a briar patch with no pants on. Which way are you going to go? Wherever you go, it's going to hurt. And you're like, Lord, I know you can get me out of here, but sometimes I think, I'm like, dude, where are you at? I mean, I need you here. Don't you care? The pain that I'm going through, the troubles that I'm having, it seems that He's silent sometimes in our lives. The Bible teaches us God does care, though. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Man, isn't that wonderful? Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future of hope. I like that. Luke 12:6-7 says, Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. You know, here's the great truth. God always takes care of His children. And there may be times in your life, like in my life, when we want God to speak and He doesn't. But I don't judge the silence. Don't judge it as unconcern for you. He knows what you're going through and He'll always watch over you. But here we find Martha in this story was worried about the biscuits that she was about to, you know, bless here. And she was more concerned about her roast that she was about than she was about her relationship with Jesus. She had lost her focus, and it always confuses the issue when you lose your focus. But I want you to know that God cares about you. The second thing is this loss of focus can cause finding fault with others. And boy, we're really good at that. You know, the second part of this verse 40, Martha finally explodes with anger and she comes out of the kitchen boiling mad and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do all the work alone? Tell her to help me. Martha doesn't even call her sister by name. She's mad. She's been left to fend for herself, and Can't even my sister come and help me? Can't she see what's going on? Who does she think she is, just sitting there doing nothing? I can hear those words, you know. Have you ever been around people that when they get mad, you don't want to be anywhere in the neighborhood? I know. You know, it's like the explosion. It may not kill you, but the shrapnel will. There are people that when they get mad, they're mad at the world. They take their frustrations out on everything and everyone. I mean, they do. Punching walls. I mean, I've seen people get mad, punch walls, do kick things. I mean, just fly off the handle. I mean, they just craziness. They take their frustrations out on everything. You know, but in James 1, 19, 20, it says this. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Right. And in Proverbs 22, 24, and 25, do not associate with a man given to anger. Wow. Or go with a hot-tempered man. Young ladies. Or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Folks, if you get angry all the time, pay attention to what you're focusing on. I mean, we all get angry at times at things. We really, I mean, it's part of our nature. We're going to get ticked off at things. But if your focus is on your situation rather than your Savior, that's where we need to refocus. Amen? The third thing is loss of focus causes resorting to self-pity. That's one thing we all like to do too. We like to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to drag everybody else into it too. You know what? All this boils down is Martha is feeling that life is not treating her fairly. It's just not right that I'm being treated this way. No one should have to do all the work that I'm doing by themselves. No one cares about me. That's the way I see it sometimes. Am I alone? You know, this becomes this world of self-pity. And verse 40 says this, it says, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. You know, if you circle that word, distracted, I've mentioned this, I think, on our Wednesday night group meetings, that I think that's probably the biggest weapon against mankind that Satan has right now is distracting us. It's distracting us from the church. It's distracting us from God because we get so busy in this world. We're focused on everything else in the world except Jesus. We're focused on everything else in the world except the church and the duties of the church. Distracted. We've lost our focus. And there's times in our life where we need to refocus and put God first. And the world comes second. And that's the attitude that we must have. We can be in the world, but not of the world. And that's who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. This world is so full of distractions. Everywhere you turn, there's a distraction. And it's so easy to get caught up in this world. And you get so busy that you don't even have time to thank God for the wonderful blessings that He gives us every day. We can be... That word distracted, when you look in the Greek translations and in the Aramaic translations, it really means to be pulled away. It means to be dragged away. And you think about that. The world pulls you away. And that's why I said, I think it's Satan's biggest weapon against mankind today. Because he pulls you, he dragged you away from your relationship with God. He dragged you away from your work in the church. And he dragged you away from your families and your friends and everything else. I mean, there's just so much. It never ends. In other words, just this to be taken captive by the world, to be made a prisoner against one's free will, is part of that description, of that definition. We become a prisoner. The implication is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus herself. I don't blame her. I would have wanted to hear that too. She wanted to be seated at His feet too. She wanted to be seated next to Mary, but she was pulled away, taken captive by her sense of duty. Fretting about the meal had robbed her of the joy that she could have had sitting at the feet of Christ. We should, of course, I think, take our responsibilities seriously. I mean, we have responsibilities to our families. We have responsibilities to the church too, and those are important. We take those seriously. But the point is that we can't allow our responsibilities get in the way of our relationship with Christ. We can't let it put us in a place where we neglect listening to the words of Jesus. Amen. See, she wanted to listen to Him, and as He offers words of abundant life, and she wanted to listen to Him as He said, if you want to save your life, you must give it away. And she wanted to listen to Him as He explained that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And she wanted to listen to Him when He said, pray for your enemies and bless those who curse you. And she wanted to listen to Him as He said, I am the bread of life. Who eats of this bread will live forever. Amen. She wanted to hear those words, but she could not listen to Him, for her mind had been taken captive by many things. Jesus says to her, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Focus on Me. Amen. That's the thing that's necessary in our life. The great truth is loss of focus can be cured. And I'm telling you, if you've lost your focus this morning, there's a cure for that. And that's just to refocus your lives on Jesus. You can do that. You know, that's the warning we need to hear. Unless we focus on Jesus, we'll focus on something else. And that's what this world wants. That's what Satan wants. He doesn't want us to focus on Christ. He wants to focus on everything else going on that distracts us. Jesus is the key. Amen. Build your relationship with Jesus and you will find rest in Him. We can be so busy with the things in life that we can become so distracted by what's going on that we miss Jesus altogether. And if you remember anything as you leave here today, remember that. Don't let life distract you. Don't be distracted and worried and bothered about so many things that you lose your focus on Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You again. Lord, I just want to give myself to You every day. As Paul said, I die daily. I take up my cross and follow You, Lord. It's not easy, Lord, but Lord, help us to not be so distracted. Lord, help us today. Refocus our lives on You. Lord, I pray again, if anyone's here this morning that maybe doesn't have that relationship with You, Lord, that they find it today before they leave. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to refocus their life, Lord, that they find that too. They give their heart to You fully. Lord, as we leave here, let us leave better than we came so that we may serve You better in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.